using our hymn books this morning for our songs. Let's turn to 489. 489. Where He leads me, I will follow. 489. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.
Anywhere with Jesus.
First of all, this coffee mug has been here for quite some time. It was on the table next to the sound booth, but anyway, it says Contigo on it, so that's the brand. I don't know if any of you this belongs to, but if it is yours, please come get it. It'll be up here on the side of the platform. Yes,
on
Sam.
On the other side of that, it says Victaulic.
Victaulic, okay. Yep.
Somebody that worked at Victaulic back then, probably a guest or something.
Okay. Well, anyway.
So don't mind if you don't take it.
Don't you have enough of those? All right. Anyway, so if that's yours, please come get it. We'll leave it here for a little while, but if nobody claims it, then I guess Jason is going to take it. All right. Just want to update everybody. Most of this you heard in Sunday school, but if you weren't here, Pastor Welton will be coming in on Tuesday. Let's pray for him. He will be coming by himself. The rest of the family will be staying in South Carolina to pack up and so forth. So pray for all those things. He will be coming here to look for housing and for he has a job interview scheduled as well. So just pray about all those things that the Lord will provide. And hopefully he'll be here, Lord willing, this Wednesday night for our service on Wednesday evening for the first time. And then he'll be here on next Sunday, the 20th. We'll have all our services. And then the following Wednesday, the 23rd, he will be here as well before he heads back to South Carolina. So just pray that things will go well here and God will help with all the details. Obviously, we are aware of the weather, possibly. So all we can do is leave that in the Lord's hands. And if we have to cancel the service because of a weather problem, we'll let everybody know as soon as we can. So just keep alert to that. But there's no point in worrying about that. All we can do is leave that in the Lord's hands and take precautions and be safe. That's really all we can do. So we'll leave all that in the Lord's hands. Following this service, we are going to have a business meeting. So we hope that you will stay and be part of that. We have some important things that we need to talk about concerning Pastor Welton and so forth. So we'll take care of that following the morning service. Also, those of you who get the Baptist bread, if you did not receive it yet, please see Brother Jim, and he will make sure you get your copy that you usually get. So I believe that's all the announcements I'm aware of at this point, except for we did start a new memory verse for adult Sunday school. If you weren't here, we're covering Psalm 25, verse 7. So if you'd like to start learning that, I think it'll be of benefit to you. All right. Our next song is all the way in the very back of the hymn book, Beyond the Index, number 819. 819, Constantly Abiding. 819. the Message is just a couple of pages over. 822. 822, our great Savior. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one? 822.
Oh, Again, I would like to say that I am honored to be here with you, Race Street Baptist Church. You have a long heritage of loving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, singing unto the Lord, and I'm very thankful for that. Let me pull this water bottle out of my pocket so I don't get a surprise later. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. It's been great getting to know you over the times the Lord has blessed me and my family by coming here to fellowship, to worship, and to learn the Word of God together. I am saddened that those times will become fewer in the future, but only selfishly saddened. I am very excited and very thankful that the Lord has now answered your prayers. You've been patient, enduring. God has now called and equipped and will be bringing a man and his family for this place to take up the mantle of leadership, not to lord over the church, but to compassionately shepherd it as an under-shepherd to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7. Stand with me if you would, verses 24 through 27. We'll look at those. As I read it aloud, you follow along in the scriptures. Matthew 7:24 reads this way. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. That's the title of my message this morning. These sayings of mine. Let me start over. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended. By the way, your house built on the rock, the rain will descend. All right? And the floods came. The floods will come. And the winds blew. Listen. The winds blow and beat upon that house. Now listen, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, again, these sayings of mine, and doeth them not. Interesting how they're heard, but they're not done. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Indiscriminately, how the rains and the floods and the winds came for the wise, they also came for the foolish. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Now, listen to this last phrase, because this is something that it's not necessarily contrasted to the wise man, but is specific to the foolish man. And great was the fall of it. Doesn't say great was the standing of the house, but it is sure to point out here, great was the fall of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into the wonderful words of life from which we draw peace and power, from which we have a great reminder to encourage our souls of the surety of our gift of salvation, the indwelling of your Spirit, the power of your person indwelling within this sinful flesh, giving us victory over selfishness, sin, and the influencing powers of Satan in this life. Help us to live godly and righteously in this present world. As we consider your word, help us, we now, Father, to consider these sayings of yours, that our lives might be established upon your rock. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Please be seated. Three quick things about principles about these verses that we can pull out, and then we're going to go back and look at some of these things which he saith. Number one, the foolish often see themselves as the wise ones. Isn't that true? You can't look at a fool and say you're a fool because he says, like, no, I'm wise. The foolish often see themselves as the wise ones, else he wouldn't have built. Right? The wise, on contrary wise, recognize that they are first of all prone to foolishness, and that is the basis of their wisdom. Secondly, truly seeing who was faithfully wise in all things are not revealed until the end. Look back to these verses. When the house is built, it's not until after the trials and the pounding of the house and the falling of it do you really know whether it was built in faithfulness or in frugality. Thirdly, though building your life upon the rock of Jesus Christ, or better, how you build after you have been saved is intended to be done, listen, from the beginning, not picking up later in life, not a time where you build your own life how you wish and then you get busy later. No, it's meant to be done from the beginning. Even so, you can begin again at any time. You could begin again at any time, though it might likely entail the removal of things already built foolishly so that you could begin to build wisely. But nonetheless, in your life, wherever you find yourself at this moment in time, you can begin again in the Lord Jesus Christ to build wisely. Now, I wanted to back up to the beginning of the chapter and to consider briefly several things that we've heard, that we know, because we have the written, preserved, inspired word of God within our grasp, because we have the fellowship of other wise believers who we can consult with. We hear these things, we know these things, but the question is that Jesus said the commonality between the wise and the fool is not in the hearing. He said it, or the commonality is in the hearing, but the contrast is in the doing. Psalm 1, tells us, blessed is the man that doesn't do this, but he does this. There's something not to do, but there's something to do at the same time. We also read here in the book of James, be ye doers of the word, verses 23 through 25 in chapter 1. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So I want us to turn back to the same chapter, chapter 7. Look at verses 7 through 11. Verses 7 through 11, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Ask who? Ask God, right? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. As he goes on to describe the fact that the one whom you rely on in asking for your daily provisions, he is faithful to give you and to provide for you what you need. He's not unfaithful. He doesn't give you a serpent when you ask for a fish. He doesn't give you a stone when you ask for bread. What is Jesus talking about here? He is talking about upon whom do we find our dependence? Who do we depend on? Jesus is telling us, in whatever area of life that you are in, if you are going to have a life that's established like a tree planted by the waters that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, if you're going to be established in this life, you've got to learn who to depend on. You cannot depend upon yourself. You cannot depend upon your neighbor. You cannot depend on the government. You depend primarily on God. And that's what Jesus is referring to here. Find your dependence on God and your life will be established. Number two, he's talking about not only dependence on God, but make sure that your direction in this life is to God. Look at verses 13 and 14. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be there to find it. Not only do you need to find your dependence on God, but you need to find your direction in life from God as well. What does Proverbs 3 tell us? 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. Is that right? Enter in at the straight gate and continue on the straight gate, because that is the pathway of this life founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Depend on God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Depend on God for your provision and for your direction. He shall direct thy path. We read also in Acts 4:12, where it talks about that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a narrow way to be saved, because there's only one way to be saved. Listen, anyone can be saved. Anyone can be. If you set aside your pride, if you set aside your arrogance, if you stop depending on yourself through your own good works and trust in God instead and depend on him, he saves you. But it's only one way. It's only one way, and it's through him. It's not through different ideas of him. Well, these Christian people believe this about Jesus. These Christian people believe this about Jesus. We have one common source, and it's the scriptures. And the scriptures reveal Jesus Christ, and by his grace alone, by trusting in him, does he save us. And we continue to live by that faith. We do. It doesn't all of a sudden become all about my works. It becomes what it started with, and that is by the grace of God through faith. And so we find here in verses 13 and 14, we get our direction from God. He already said that these sayings of mine have told you dependence on God. Number two, direction from God. But number three, distance from the ungodly. Look at verse 15. Beware. What are you supposed to do when you beware?
Be aware.
That's right. Be aware so that you can do what? Stay away and avoid. That's right. Now, you know what little boys like me would do when I was 8, 9, and 10 years old? If someone said, beware of that fence, because on the other side, there are mean and nasty bulls. You know where I'm going? To the fence. Don't climb too high in that tree. Beware. Really? What's going to happen if I do? Let's find out. But that's not what Jesus is saying, be aware. He's saying be aware because the wise man, not the foolish, heareth and does. He depends on God. He doesn't just hear that God is worthy to be depended on. He puts his trust in the Lord. His finances, his family, his life, his worship, even his own safety itself, he does in the manner that demonstrates, I'm depending on God. So the same thing with the direction of his life. It's not that you could depend on God in all things, but I'm going to go my direction in life. Doesn't work that way. It's his provision and his dependence, his direction, and then you keep distance from the ungodly. We just read that in Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know who the scornful are. They never have anything good to say, right? If you know a scorner, his scorn is a demonstration of ungodliness. Ungodliness. What are you sitting with him for? Excuse me. You guys in Sunday school know what that means. So distance from the ungodly, that's what it talks about here in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. By the way, they come to you, don't they? They come to you, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Listen, these sayings of mine that you are to hear and to do, is to be dependent on God, to get your direction from God. But listen, that is all for naught if you don't keep your distance from the ungodly. Then fourthly here in verses 21 through 23, he says, have discernment about religion. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, not heareth, but doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And the answer is yes, they have. And in thy name have cast out devils? Whoa. The answer is yeah. And in thy name done many wonderful works? Yes, you have. But Jesus will profess unto them, it's not about you knowing who I am. It's about me knowing who you are. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, we've got to have discernment about religion. We just cannot turn on our Facebook and watch videos, go to YouTube and watch videos, go to our radio and our television and watch messages from just anything that sounds good and tickles my ears and makes it scratch where I need to itch it. No, we need to have focus about discernment about what is true and right and good and godly. And that's why you in particular, in this place, you need to show the desire to follow your shepherd. To follow your shepherd. Because if God called him and equipped him and brings him to you, guess what? He's got good things in store. He does. He's got good things in store. Now, by the way, I need to do the same thing. But I'm not a member of your church. My home church is now without a pastor. You know, as well as I do, that the Lord took him home to be with him. But nonetheless, we have got to show discernment. We can't have three different pastors. We can't have three, four, five different sources that we're getting our spiritual fruit from. How are we going to serve one master, two masters, three masters, four masters? We have got to be unified in the spirit as sheep under one shepherd. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that pastor, which in the Greek, poimen is the Greek word, literally means shepherd. We've got to have discernment. Listen, Jesus says, hear and do these sayings of mine. Number one, dependence on God. Number two, your direction from God. Number three, keep your distance from the ungodly. But number four, we've got to have discernment about false religions. It's only then when we establish our salvation and our service in this life on these sayings of mine, Jesus says, that we become that tree planted by the rivers of water. We make certain our eternal salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But also, we need to build with certainty eternal things during our temporary life in light of our eternity to come. It says that if we do this, 2 Timothy 3 says that we will be throughly furnished unto all good works. Ephesians 4 says, if you do this, you will be perfect saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, listen, be no more children. You know what a child does? He gets offended easily and he can't sit still. That's going to be the question, isn't it? How easily are you going to be offended? Are you going to sit still? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Who lies in wait to deceive? The ungodly. From whom we need to stay away. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus gives this illustration about building our lives. And the person who hears and does, dependence on God, direction from God, distance from the ungodly, discernment about false religions. These sayings, you're wise. And your house is built on a rock. And you know what? The winds and the waves are going to come. And they have, haven't they? They have. You have not regressed. Like Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. Remember, the word of God falls into that soil, springs up quickly with joy, But when the sun comes out to beat, it withers away. Why? Because there's no root. And I'm so happy to some of you looked back at me and told me that reason even before I can get it out of my mouth. Because you know the parable. Jesus is talking about the same thing right here, right now. What are you building your life on? On the rock, Jesus Christ. Well, the rock will be present in your life, but what are you building on it? What are you building on it? Let me just tell you something. I have nothing against properly in doses using entertainment. But if I'm building my life around entertainment, then my life's going to fall. You know why? Because I've become a double-minded man. Boy, I want to follow God and do what's right and let God establish me where in the storms I will stand. But man, I really want to watch all these things and listen to all these things and do what I want at the same time. James says, you're a double-minded man. You want and desire God and desire this world. Listen, what are we going to do? Because we already know the winds and the waves of this life are going to threaten us like they already have. But we've got to get rid of this double mind. Listen, we have got to depend on God. We have got to trust in Him for our direction. But that's not enough. We have got to stay away from the ungodly. You don't have to yell at them, berate them. You can correct them in love with the Word of God, but you cannot give them access into the relationship building of your life. You don't. You can't. That's what Matthew 18 is all about. That's what verses throughout the New Testament that talk about if there is even a brother that is among you who walks disorderly and he will not change, note that man and have no company with him. Now, don't treat him like a heathen. Treat him like a brother, but keep no company with him. You can't. You can't. Not if you want your life, not if you want your church to be established when the winds come, that it stands firm for the Word of God. That's what you got to do. And you got to have discernment about religion. You got to have discernment about Jesus Christ. One verse on that, and we'll close. Galatians chapter 1. Verse number 6, he's talking to believers in the church in Galatia, and he marvels at them. I marvel, Galatians 1:6, that you're so removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach, wow, he repeats. How often do you see Paul, the apostle, repeating himself in the scripture? Listen, he doesn't have dementia. He doesn't forget that he said it. He's saying it for emphasis. If any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Have discernment. The wise have discernment. The wise keep their distance from the ungodly. The wise depend on God for their provisions, not the government and not the people. It's on God. And they trust God for the direction in their life. How about you? How about you? Do you need to make that decision about which way you're going? Wherever you are in your life building, you can build again. Because that's what God does. He builds again a new vessel. It takes your humility because God resists the proud. Who does he give grace to? I might add only the humble. Only. Only the humble. So are we going to live our life in those storms, always falling? Because if we're always building and always falling, you can understand why Jesus finished that parable by saying, how great was the fall thereof. That's not just everything fell down. It's looking at the potential that you had in your life from the time that you received Christ until the time that he takes you home. When all that life, how great was the potential that was lost for what you can do for the kingdom of God, just being one man. How great was that fall? But you remember what he says here? Matthew chapter 7. I'm not in Matthew. Hold on. In verse 25, rains descended, floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Listen, we know that rock is Jesus Christ. But Jesus says here in these verses, that rock are these sayings of mine. They are. They are. You could say the rock is Jesus, and it is. The rock is my salvation, and it is. The rock is the word of God, and it is. But specifically in this context, when Jesus was talking literally to these people, it was those four things. It was. It's not going to be any different than for you or for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you and we thank you. You are a great God. You're so full of mercy. We are so unworthy, but we are so thankful that you are the God of all care, forgiveness, love, and compassion. We fall upon your grace. We, on our knees and our hearts, ask that you cleanse us from our own way and depending on ourselves. We ask that you forgive us for going our own direction instead of in all of our ways acknowledging you. We ask that you forgive us for staying close and comfortable with those who are ungodly. And you help us to wisely sever those relationships in a careful but yet definitive way, that you give us discernment about the true gospel and the other gospel, the true Jesus and the other Jesus, that we might hear and we might do. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think it's fitting that we turn to 423 in our good books. 423, the solid rock. meeting. We'll give everybody about 5 minutes. Before we do, let's close in prayer, and I'll pray for the business meeting as well. That way we can get started on it when it's time. Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had to be in your house today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation. We pray that we would be obedient to those specific sayings in Matthew chapter 7, but also the rest of your word. Many times we wonder why we have no direction in life about what we're supposed to do next and what is your will. And often it's because we are not doing your will in what we already know. So help us to be faithful, to be hearers of your word and know what your word says. But more important than that, to do those things that we know are pleasing in your sight. We thank you for our time together. Now as we have our business meeting in a few moments, may your will be accomplished. We ask your hand of blessing and protection upon our church, that we would do what would please you. And may we be faithful stewards of the resources that you have given us here. We want your will done, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Pastor Welton and his family, and may we be people who do everything we can to be of benefit to him and his family, so we can all work together to accomplish your purpose for this place. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.